And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, How Manny Got Into the Seventh Grade, was written by Mark Siegel. It is adapted from a story entitled God's Agents Have Beards, written by Emmanuel Winters.
A question was once asked of Rabbi Joshua ben Kara. Why did the Holy One, blessed be He, choose to speak to Moses at Mount Horeb out of a thorn bush? Then Rabbi Joshua answered, so as to teach us that there is no place on this earth free of the presence of God. God is everywhere, even in the lowly, even in a thorn bush.
Birthday this week. I'll be 16. And birthdays, well, somehow they get you to thinking. You know, about when you were a kid. I was a funny kid. I remember one summer when I was 10. I thought I knew everything. Of course, I've outgrown that now. But then I thought I knew everything. Absolutely everything. One day I was walking down the street when I met my father. Well, walking isn't exactly the word for it.
One, two, three.
Manny, what in the name of heaven are you doing?
Oh, hello, Pa. Four. Going to take my violin lesson,
well,
Pa.
When are you supposed to be there?
In a few minutes, Pa. Five.
Well, it'll take you an hour to get there that way.
I'm sorry. Six.
Now, look, Manny, what's this crazy jumping and hopping down the street?
If my right foot lands on the crack in the sidewalk 10 times in a row...
Yes?
Seven. I'll have a good violin lesson. Mr. Rasputin won't yell at me.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. Hey, Pa, let go, will you? What are you doing?
I'm going to help you on the next jump. Eight. Never made it otherwise.
My father's like that. A little old-fashioned, maybe, but, well, nice. So is my whole amazing book-reading family. We used to sit around the table nights, reading books and eating peanuts.
Manny, remember, only one peanut to a page.
Yes, Uncle Amos.
And don't read so fast.
Why, Uncle Amos? What's wrong with reading fast?
Nothing, Manny, nothing. But it's bad for your digestion.
One particularly hot June night, after the dining room table had been cleared, I and my amazing book-reading family were doing what we usually did after dinner. Reading books. Except for my father. He was doing what he usually did after dinner, composing music. For over 2 hours, the only sounds in the room had been my father's lovely music, the turning of pages, and the scratching of my father's goose quill on the music paper in front of him. I was just reaching page 249 in The Three Musketeers by Dumas. I was about to bite into my 249th peanut, when something which had been gnawing at me for quite a while bit me.
I've decided. I want to meet God.
My Uncle Amos, who had been sitting down, jumped up. My mother, who had been standing up, sat down. As for my father's jaw... Well, when he recovered, he pulled twice on his goatee... And he said...
What did you say, Manny?
I've decided. I want to meet God.
No! The boy's gone crazy. crazy all of a sudden.
Quiet, Amos. Stop your laughing.
Nanny, what's that book? What are you reading?
The Three Musketeers, Mama. A very poorly written book.
And what's it got to do with God?
Nothing, Mama. It's just that I've decided. I want to meet God.
He's crazy. Crazy. In one breath, a book review and a desire to meet God.
Amos, please. Boys who express an interest in God should not be laughed at. Unless, of course, they express an immoderate interest in God.
In the whole history of our family, I have never heard such a thing.
Well, I have. Frequently.
If you ask me, he has lost his mind from eating too many peanuts.
I'm not asking you.
Go ahead, argue. I'm calling the doctor.
Why the doctor?
A tonic. He needs a tonic.
He doesn't need a tonic. He's a philosopher. Everybody knows that.
A philosopher. That's all we need in this family. A philosopher.
I have never heard of such a thing. Mama, what was the first word he said? Do you remember? When he was 11 months old?
Of course I remember. 11 months and 2 weeks.
Well, what did he say?
He said, why?
I told you. He's a philosopher.
Look, Pa, all I said was I want to meet God.
Don't say it again, Manny. We heard you.
I'm going to call the doctor.
Everybody, please, be quiet. This is an emergency. It calls for concentration.
Everyone obeyed my father. We were all as quiet as if we were at a funeral. Nobody cracked peanuts. Nobody read. Nobody even dared breathe. Except me. I dared do anything with my father.
Well, children, I've decided.
Good. I'll call the doctor.
No, don't bother with the doctor. I've decided.
Decided what?
I've decided that the boy's interest in God is not immoderate. Manny.
Yes, Pa.
Come outside with me. We'll see if you can meet him. Now, tell me all over, Manny.
It's like I said, Pa. I want to meet God.
You mean you want proof that there is a God?
Excuse me, Pa. I don't go for secondhand things.
Uh-huh. You're a philosopher.
Maybe I am, and maybe I'm not. I just want to meet him, face to face.
Good. Let's take a walk around the block.
We walked around the block. Then we walked around it again. Then we sat down under a huge elm on the soft, sweet grass of June, far away from the lights.
Do you see the stars up there, Manny, huh?
Yes, Pa, I see them.
There's millions.
I know it.
Now, they move exactly on schedule. They never change.
Like a clock?
Yes, like a clock. Now, suppose there was no traffic system to keep the cars downtown moving right. They'd bump into each other all the time, wouldn't they?
I suppose they would, Pa.
Well, now, there's a traffic system that keeps the stars moving the same way. And it's God.
Well, maybe they don't bump into each other because they're so far apart.
Yes, that's possible.
Maybe once upon a time, there used to be more of them, closer together, and they wrecked each other. And now what's left have all the room they need. And maybe that's why they don't bump now.
Yes, it could be like that. Maybe we'd better go home, Manny. I don't think you're going to meet God tonight.
We went home, and I went to sleep. But for that night and lots of nights after it, I dreamed all kinds of dreams. All about God.
Manny! Manny!
Did someone mention my name?
Do you believe in God?
Well, I don't disbelieve in him. If you know what I mean.
Are you sure?
Well, sure I'm sure. If I only had a little proof.
Manny, come over here.
Okay, Mom. I'm coming.
Sit down, darling.
I'll sit down. But please don't call me darling.
Why not?
I'm 10 years old.
Oh, true. You're 10 years old. Now, if you're so big, maybe you can explain something to me.
Sure, Ma. What do you want to know?
Now, you keep saying you want to meet God. What I want to know is why. Why do you want to meet God?
Oh, is that all, Ma?
Yes, that's all.
Well, it's on account of summer school.
Something's wrong at summer school? You just started last week.
Look, Ma, you know my violin lessons?
Sure, I know them. $2 a lesson. Why shouldn't I know them?
Mr. Rasputin, my violin teacher, sometimes he yells at me, and sometimes he doesn't.
So?
So I found out, if my right foot lands on the cracks in the sidewalk 10 times in a row, Mr. Rasputin doesn't yell at me.
Oh, Mammy, that's just being superstitious.
Superstitious or not superstitious, that's how it works.
Well, darling...
Don't call me darling!
All right. But what's that got to do with meeting God?
Well, confidentially, Ma.
Yes?
Well, confidentially, sometimes on the way to my violin lesson...
Yes?
Sometimes I cheat.
Huh?
A long step, a short step, you know, to make it come out right.
Foolishness on top of foolishness. But I still don't understand, what's this got to do with your wanting to meet God?
Look, Ma, I just started summer school. I want to pass.
Why shouldn't you pass? You're not studying?
Of course I'm studying. But, Ma, suppose there is a man with a long beard sitting up there in the sky.
You mean God?
Yes, God. Suppose there is someone up there deciding whether I pass or don't pass.
Well, Mammy, honestly, I don't know if that's all that's occupying God's mind.
But if he is up there, Ma...
Yes?
I have to know it. I can't take long steps and short steps and cheat him.
My mother's a very practical woman. She was even then. The very next day, she went to see my teacher.
Miss Regan, my boy Manny...
A very bright lad, Emmanuel. Sometimes a little condescending, but very bright.
Miss Regan, he studies very hard.
Yes, I'm sure he does.
Miss Regan, he's a good boy.
Yes, Emmanuel is certainly an obedient child.
And why shouldn't he pass in summer school?
Not pass? Why, my dear lady, he's at the head of the class.
What?
He's leading the rest of the class by...
And that's the way it should be, too. He'll have to learn to believe in God for himself. Just like everyone else.
I'm only asking you to try again.
All right, I'll try. I'll try again. The question is, will Manny try again? Now, listen carefully, Manny.
Sure, Pa. Now,
once upon a time, there was a great king who worshipped idols.
Another story, Pa?
Another story. Now, this king told a rabbi that unless the rabbi could produce his god face to face, the very next day, the rabbi's head would roll in the streets.
That's a very unpleasant picture, Pa.
Yes, it is. But this rabbi was a very wise man.
Like you, Pa?
Well, yes, I suppose so. Now, listen and stop interrupting.
Okay, Pa.
So he said, sure, O great king, but first come on outside. I want to show you something.
What did he show him, Pa? The stars and how they don't bump together?
No, he showed him the sun and told him to look at it. Now, the king couldn't look right at the sun because it hurt his eyes.
So what does that prove, Pa?
Well, the rabbi said, king, if you can't even look at the sun, which is only one of the many things God made, how in heaven's name do you expect to see God face to face? Huh? Do you, get the moral?
Sure I get it.
Thank goodness.
But it doesn't satisfy me.
Why not, Manny?
Pa, somewhere in the Bible...
Yes?
Somewhere in the Bible, doesn't it say that the old prophets used to speak with God face to face?
I must have driven him almost crazy in the next few weeks. He told me all kinds of stories. Good stories, too, but none of them satisfied me. Finally, one day, after some kind of a row he had with my mother, my father took me aside, very quietly.
I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to breathe it to a soul.
Sure, Pa.
Not to your mother, even. And especially not to Uncle Amos.
I can keep a secret as good as the next fella, Pa.
Good.
What is it?
Now, if you really want to see God face to face...
Oh, I sure do, Pa.
You can.
I can?
Yes, you can. If you keep asking God long enough and hard enough...
I'll do it.
And if God is sure, you really mean it.
Oh, I mean it all right.
Now, there's something else you should know if you're going to meet God, Manny. Sometimes God's too busy seeing somebody else. Well, then he sends his personal representative. Now, will that be okay?
Sure. So long as I know it is his representative.
You'll know when the time comes.
How, Pa?
Never mind, you'll know. Now, remember, not a word of this to anyone.
Not a word. Hey, Pa.
Yes, Manny?
You're not kidding me, are you?
Huh?
Just because I'm only 10 years old.
No, Manny. You know I never kid anyone. Well, maybe your mother once in a while.
My father is an honest man. I know that from many occasions. For example, he used to lose at checkers with me all the time. And once I asked him, was he maybe letting me win all the time? And he said, just like that.
Yes, to tell the truth, I'm letting you win. Little boys should always beat their fathers at checkers. It's a rule of fatherhood.
So I know, and I knew then, that my father was honest. I thought to myself,
if he says so, it must be so.
And I began to pray. Every morning on the way to summer school, I prayed.
Dear God, just think of the disgrace to my whole book-reading family if I don't pass the sixth grade in 6 weeks.
I summoned up every argument I could find.
My mother'll say,
oh, it was too hard for him.
But you and I know it isn't too hard. Uncle Amos'll laugh his head off.
No!
And that's not too good for his health. So for the sake of my poor book-reading family, and really for my sake, too, oh, God, please let me pass to my just reward, the seventh grade.
I had a second prayer, too.
Oh, God, don't let me waste my valuable time praying to you if you aren't real. Let me see you face to face, like the old prophets in the Bible. Just one look.
Every day for almost 6 weeks, I prayed for just one look. But I didn't see him. Toward the end of the 6 weeks, I got a bad case of the maybes.
Maybe God is really there, but he's keeping undercover out of shame, because he's already decided to flunk me.
The more frightened I got, the harder I studied. And I got 100% in all my preliminary exams. But I was still afraid of flunking because the final exam was still to come.
Maybe he's teasing me, starting me off with 100%, and planning on giving me zero in the end.
Finally, there was nothing left but the final examination.
Manuel?
Yes, Miss Regan?
If you're quite through with your examination...
She could be very nasty, Miss Regan. She was 52 and well beyond the hopeful stage.
You can leave.
Yes, Miss Regan.
And next term, see if you can overcome that strange little habit you have, Emmanuel.
What strange little habit, Miss Regan?
Of mumbling under your breath while you write. God knows what makes you do it.
I hope he does.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing, Miss Regan. When do I find out if I pass, Miss Regan?
Tomorrow morning, Emmanuel. Tomorrow morning at 9.
The next morning, I started out for school earlier than usual to give myself and God a good last chance. I crossed the South Street Bridge, praying hard all the way. I turned on Washington Street and headed towards school.
Oh, God, in just 3 minutes, I'm going to turn the corner at Union Street where the traffic light's broken and walk into school. You've got just 3 minutes. Oh, God, to save me and my family from everlasting disgrace.
I was worried about something else, too.
If you don't show yourself to me, God, I'll have to stop believing in you. Then I'll have to stop believing in my father.
Still, there wasn't a soul on the sidewalk, not even a sparrow. I was reaching the corner of Washington and Union. Once I turned that, it was all over.
Oh, God, I'm going to turn the corner now. Please send a representative. Let him be around the corner. Let him have a long black beard. Any old representative will do.
I took a deep breath, clenched my fists, and turned the corner. There was a man there. He did have a long black beard. It seemed to me there was a special glow in his face, a kind of light I'd never seen before. I didn't know what to do. I just stared at him wildly.
Why are you staring, son?
I beg your pardon, almighty sir.
Well, that's all right.
I just stood there. And I guess he knew. I hoped he'd talk to me.
By the way, son, what time is it?
Just 9 o'clock, almighty sir.
Well, thank you, son. Now, you be a good boy.
Don't worry about that, almighty sir.
I won't. Goodbye now.
I bowed from the waist and watched him till he turned the corner. Then I raced into school and almost knocked poor Miss Regan down.
Oh, sorry, Miss Regan. Goodbye, Miss Regan.
Oh, just one moment, Emmanuel. Don't you want to know if you passed your examination?
Oh, I know, Miss Regan. I passed.
How do you know, Emmanuel?
I couldn't say, Miss Regan. I just know.
That evening, I joined my amazing book-reading family after dinner. In the center of the dining table was a fresh 5-pound sack of peanuts. From the shelf, I took down The Three Musketeers and opened it to page 251. On the way to my place at the table, I stopped and whispered,
I passed, Pa.
That's fine, Manny.
And Pa.
Yes, Manny?
I also saw his personal representative today.
Really?
He had a long black beard, and he asked me what time it was.
My father pulled at his short goatee twice and nodded his head and said,
That's very interesting, Manny. I expected you would.
Well, it's funny, the things you can believe when you're 10. You know, for a long time after that, I thought God's agents had beards. Well, I'd seen him, hadn't I? I'd looked and I'd seen him. I was a crazy kid, I guess, because I looked for God and saw him on the corner of Washington and Union. But now that I'm 16, I wonder if you look for him, really look, won't you see him everywhere?
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Joseph Wohl, philanthropist and prominent civic leader of New York City. Mr. Wohl.
The story we have just been listening to is, in one sense, a delightful fantasy, but in another, it carries a message which all of us can heed. In the same way that young Manny, exaggerating his plight, requiring and even demanding the vivid presence of God in his life, created this near fantasy, so do many people do things which are not called fantasy, but are indeed fantastic, for they seem to twist their lives almost feverishly to exclude the presence of God from all their pursuits. This story, therefore, serves its purpose if it arouses in us a sensitivity to an inadequacy in our lives, namely, the awareness that we are living in such an over-sophisticated and over-intellectualized civilization that often the most important and basic things in life are lost. We are unable to approach them with sincerity, with purity, and with simplicity. We can be abashed by this lesson of 10-year-old Manny. But, as it is said, it is not the first time that the egg has taught the chicken. We are all aware that very often a young man, with his seeming naivety and lack of prejudice, sees life's truths with a clarity and faith which we might emulate. It was this kind of simple faith which motivated Manny in his awareness of the presence of God in all aspects of his behavior. It is significant that his attitude and his sight were inculcated by the wisdom and the patience of an understanding father. In essence, this is a plea for humility and faith, for an understanding of the presence beyond ourselves and the individual concerns guiding our actions, a plea for the participation of all mankind in the formulation of its spiritual destiny.
Thank you, Mr. Wall. Our eternal light drama today, How Manny Got Into the Seventh Grade, was written by Mark Siegel, adapted from a story entitled God's Agents Have Beards by Emmanuel Winters, which appeared in The Bar Mitzvah Treasury by Dr. Azriel Eisenberg. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were David Pepper as young Manny, William Redfield as the narrator, Joseph DeSantis as father, Bryna Rayburn as mother, Louis Sorin as Uncle Amos, Agnes Young as Miss Regan, and Bert Cowlin as the stranger. The music was written by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Kadams. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Life is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.